Let me say on this thing of living life wisely, this matter of living life wisely out of the book of Proverbs, remember that in the very first lesson we gave you words and teaching out of Proverbs chapter 1, where the Bible makes it clear that if you live life according to the principles of wisdom, you can live a superior life. Now, people get the wrong idea when you think about superiority. We're not talking about authority. We're not talking about a bigger house. We're not talking about a fancier car. We're not talking about being better than somebody because of financial standing or education or race. That's not the kind of superiority we're talking about here. When we talk about living a superior life, we're talking about the quality of your life spiritually. Okay? In your marriage, with your children, at work, with your finances. In every area, you can live a superior life to people who don't live according to the principles of wisdom. So that means the folks in California who are filthy rich as far as money goes in this world, they would live an inferior life to you and me because we live according to Bible principles, whereas maybe they don't. We're not talking about superiority financially, necessarily. Superiority educationally. We're talking about quality of life. You live according to the principles of wisdom, and you'll enjoy your life. God promised that you would, okay? Now, where we ended up last June, at the end of May this year, we ended up, I think we did Lesson 57. I remember talking about Lesson 57, but when I looked over my notes, where did I end, where do I begin? Lesson 57 is so key for people with, especially this time of the year. How many of you sent a child to school this past week? Raise your hand real high. Okay, you sent a child to school. All right, how many of you will send a child to school maybe the next year or two? Would you raise your hand? You'll be sending a child to school. Now, some of you have children. It's still 3 or 4 years away yet. You'll be sending a child to school. Some of you started your schooling at home this week. So I want to talk to you because when I saw this, I thought this lesson 57 is so key and so vital to parents, and specifically this morning, teachers in a Christian school working together for the well-being of the child. Listen very carefully. I will say this probably tonight in my message tonight. We are not responsible for your child's education. If you think that's why Faith Baptist Academy is here, you're wrong. You're responsible for your child's education. I'm responsible for my child's education as a dad. That's what we're taught in the Bible. Faith Baptist Academy is here to assist parents, help fulfill their responsibility of educating their children. Okay? You're in a situation where you can't do it at your home. I can't do it at my home. Or I choose not to. I choose to use the school facility. But don't think, friend, that we drive up here, drop them off, and just when they close the car door, our responsibility ends as far as the education of our children. That's not it. That's not the approach you need to take. The school is here and the teachers in the school are here to assist the families of this church in helping their children get an education, okay? Because it is ultimately the family's responsibility, dad and mom's. So we're working together in this thing. It helps if we're on the same page. We talked a little bit about that on Tuesday night. Some of you maybe won't need this. But you might need it when your child's in Sunday school. You might need it. Maybe you could help somebody else with it. But lesson 57 is taken out of chapter 18 and verse 13 in Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Okay, if you answer a matter before you hear it, it is folly, foolishness, and shame. It can be embarrassing. It's a matter of being foolish, and it's a matter of standing the chance of being embarrassed if you answer a matter before you hear it. In other words, you hear about something involving maybe your child, specifically this morning, we're talking about that, but it could be true. You know, this thing that the maidens are going through with their life displayed on the front pages of the Daily Journal. You could read that and come to conclusions without ever talking to Adrian Roxanne, and you'd be foolish to do that. And you'd be embarrassed. You might come to some conclusions that would be very embarrassing to you. You got to get there. Always two sides to every story. Now, if there's anything to learn, friend, learn that principle. There are two sides to every story. I'm not talking about just children in school. I'm talking about people at work. I'm talking about people in the church. I'm talking about people with family problems. There are always two sides to every story. The wise person makes sure that you get both sides of the story before you jump to a conclusion, okay? And if you will do that, if you'll live by that principle, you'll save yourself foolishness and you'll save yourself embarrassment. You'll save yourself that. You can't just jump to conclusions about anything. That's what this verse is teaching, all right? He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, because blood is thicker than water, it is much easier to align yourself. It is emotionally much easier to align yourself with your child's side of the story. Now, that's just how it is, okay? Because blood is thicker than water, it's always easier to emotionally align yourself with your child's side of the story. Let me say this again. I've told you through the years. Children know what buttons to push when it comes to their dad and mom. They know what buttons to push when they want a calm response out of us. And they want, you know, something like, well, Dad, I got to talk to you, but it's not really that big. What are they doing? They're preconditioning you that, you know, don't be worried. You know, just be calm. It's all right. You know, So they know what buttons to push. Or they know what buttons to push when they want a response that is in their favor and immediate. They know what buttons to push. Okay? Some of you folks that are in this class were not too far removed from pushing those buttons. Amen? Okay? Kids, and especially teenagers, are not dumb. They know what buttons to push. Now, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable because we're parents. Blood is thicker than water. You're always emotionally aligned with your child. Therefore, as I wrote here in this little paper, it takes great character to exercise patience and wait to hear the other side before you jump to conclusions. You must exercise patience. Now, in order to avoid foolishness and embarrassment, I want you to take the following suggestions into consideration. These are not maybe Bible studies. I can't take you to a Bible verse where it says, thou shalt, right here, most matter, okay? But these are common sense suggestions to help you live by the wise principle of making sure you hear a matter before you jump to a conclusion. Hear the matter through. Hear the matter through before you jump to a conclusion. Sometimes folks in the church come to me with stories about staff members. And it's very easy for me, you know, you don't want a staff member to cause you a problem. You don't hire staff members to cause you problems. You hire staff members to take care of problems. So when you hear that one's caused a problem, it's easy for me to jump to a conclusion. Ah, my blessed God, get him in here, you know. But I found out over the years that you got to get both sides of the story. Because even adults know how to push buttons, amen, and get the desired response. All right. So, here we go. If you want to fill in the blanks, that's what I left in blank for this morning. We'll talk down through this a little bit. And maybe it'll be a blessing to know these things as you approach a school year. How many of you sent a child to school for the very first time? You never sent a child to school before. Anybody like that here? Yes, that's right. Jason and Heather did. How many of you sent a child to school for the first time? That was first time for that child. First time for that child. Tom, you said Joey, right? Joey came, and Mindy came, and Sierra came, right? So, all right. So, it's always big. Amen. It's always a big thing. Now, first suggestion here. Most matters do not need to be addressed immediately. Most matters do not need to be addressed immediately. I found out something over the years that even the most urgent-sounding phone calls, you know, often don't need to be addressed immediately. Give some time to it. You know what time is? Time is a great element. It allows for emotions to cool down. You know, when Daniel and his friends there were in Babylon, and the king had the dream, and he couldn't interpret the dream, and he couldn't remember what it was. That's what it was. He couldn't remember what it was. So he called all of his astrologers and magicians and wise men from Babylon. He called them all in. Now, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not part of this meeting. So Nebuchadnezzar calls them all in, all the Babylonian magicians and astrologers and wise men, soothsayers, and he says to them, fellas, I need you to interpret a dream. Okay, king, tell us the dream. That's the problem. I can't remember the dream. I need you to tell me the dream. I'm supposed to tell you what dream you had? That's right. King, if you'll tell us what the dream is, we can interpret it. I'm sorry, I've forgotten the dream. Tell me what I dreamed. That's impossible. We can't tell you what you dreamed. Okay, then off with your heads. That's what he said. He said, behead them all. And by the way, he said, get all the wise men, which included Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Included those four Hebrew boys. So here came the guy to Daniel saying, you know what? Where are we going? We're going to chop your head off. What are you going to chop my head off for? Because the king had a dream, and none of the soothsayers can interpret it because they can't remember what the dream is. They don't know what the dream is. And Daniel said, good night, man. Give us a chance. And the first thing he did, he went before Nebuchadnezzar, and he asked him for time. He said, give me some time. And the king granted him his request. Time is a great benefit, okay? A lot of times the things do not need to be addressed immediately. I'm not saying they don't need to be addressed, but they don't need to be addressed immediately. And if you're caught up emotionally in it, and you make the phone call or you drive over to see the teacher, then you're liable to be embarrassed or it's liable to be foolishness, whereas just a little time would have taken the fuse out of the situation altogether. Okay? Take it out altogether. So most matters do not need to be addressed immediately. Let me just say this. The teachers are here for you. The teachers are here for you. Okay? And that's Sunday school teachers as well. But the school teachers are here for you. But, you know, they do have a life apart from Faith Baptist Academy. Okay? And by the way, their day doesn't end at 3 o'clock. And their day doesn't begin at 8:30. They're up and at it. They're here at 8 o'clock. They have school devotions at 8:10. On Wednesdays, we have at 8 o'clock when I'm here for devotions. And then they stay for at least an hour every day after that. They stay at least till 4 o'clock. And some of them have part-time jobs. Diane Jacoby works over at KinderCare sometimes at night, just because she brought some expenses. She brought some bills with her to the teaching place here. And we don't get them rich, but we try to pay them to make sure that their needs are met and have a little cash for their purse as a teacher here. But if they come here with bills, sometimes that's a little difficult. So she has to go over to KinderCare. So, you know, be considerate of their time, okay? Be considerate of their time. When's a good time to see them? You know, you just pick up the phone and call them. Sometimes they have a life apart from Faith Baptist Academy, okay? Most matters do not need to be addressed immediately. Give the thing some time. Second suggestion, number two, never give the impression that you do not trust the authority. You got to be careful of that. You know, you can't give the impression like, okay, I'm going to go talk. You know, it's not enough to say I'm going to go talk to the teacher. You must avoid suspicion, at least in the eyes of the child. Now, you don't have to suspicion your child either. Just be noncommittal. You don't have to commit to any kind of conclusion when your child comes home with a story. You know, and sometimes they're going to come home with a sad story. Sometimes they're going to come home with a mad story. Sometimes they're going to come home with a silly story. Sometimes they may come home with a false story. Oh, not my child. Yeah, your child. Yeah, your child. My child will never lie to me. Wrong again. They will. They have. You say, where do they learn that? They learn it from right here. Comes within from the heart of man. Amen. So they may come home with a false story. You don't have to jump to any kind of committed conclusion, and you don't have to show the child suspicion. I would not teach my child that I suspicion everything they come to me with. Then they won't come to you. You can't raise an eyebrow at everything they come to you. They won't want to come to you. Well, Dad doesn't believe me anyway. Why would you talk to your mom? She doesn't believe me. Okay? So you can't give the idea that you suspicion they're lying, or that you suspicion their story maybe is embellished, or that it has another side. But you don't have to give them the impression that you suspicion the authority. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We'll get to the bottom of this. I'll call her right now. What is that saying? That's saying I suspicion your teacher. I don't trust your teacher. And we'll tell you something, friend. In any relationship, the most fragile and necessary part of the relationship is trust. A husband and wife, when that relationship of trust is broke, it is so fragile and so necessary and very difficult to regain. And the same thing is true with in any relationship in life. So do not give the idea to your child. You don't want to give them the idea that you suspicion their teacher, because you're kind of saying there, I don't trust her. I don't trust Brother Reardon. Boy, you don't want that to develop in their heart. for sure, okay? You realize, folks, hey, you're not doing them a favor when you tear down that teacher. That teacher is a hero. I mean, the teacher is a heroine. The teacher walks on cloud nine. The teacher walks 10 feet above ground. Ah, like, that's the way you and I were when we were kids. Maybe girls more so than guys, okay? By the time we got our third spanking, they weren't our heroes anymore. I'll promise you that much, huh? Some of y'all grew up in the non-spanking. I got spanking. In-school spanking. And they didn't even call my mom. You know, where were the child advocate people in those day and age, you know? Huh? Where was all this? They didn't call mom. They didn't call dad. No, they didn't even take you off somewhere in seclusion. You know, just go to the side room or out in the hallway. Just outside the door. Wham, wham, wham. Right back into class. Your face is red, you know. And I'm not advocating. We don't spank here because of the way things are today. We just don't spank here. I said it over again. I'm not going to go to jail because somebody's 8-year-old can't obey the rules. If they can't obey the rules, they can just go to school somewhere else because I'm not going to jail. I got a wife and 3 kids. If I have to go to jail, it'll be something over this book right here. Amen. Something like that. But anyway, don't give the impression you don't trust the authority. I got to move on here. I'm not going to finish. Number three, tell the child you're going to talk to the authority before making any decisions. Tell the child you're going to talk to the authority before making any decisions. Now, that really goes hand in hand with the next one. Sometimes that is the last thing the child wants you to do. When they say, you say, I'm going to go talk to your teacher. Well, you know, 5 minutes later, if they're teenagers, they're smart enough not to. They're smart enough. They're wise as serpents. Okay? That's right. And they're smart enough, you know, but, you know, 10 minutes later, you know, oh, Dad, you know, I Mrs. So-and-so said she had something going tonight. You know, it's not a big deal. Don't bother. Okay? And sometimes that's the last thing they want you to do is talk to the parent. Now, Karen, how many years did you teach school out there? Am I on course so far with these? 9-year teacher, right? Yeah. At what grades? 3rd through 7th grade. So here we go. All right. So if you don't believe me, ask Karen. Okay. She did it for 9 years out there. Sometimes that's the last thing your child wants you to do. And if they start backing up on their story and it's not such a bad, you know, it wasn't so bad, you know, it's not such a big deal, you better check up on it. Amen. Next one, number five, approach the authority with respect, seeking information. Even if that teacher is younger than you, in most cases, at least in the elementary school, that would be true here. Okay. Not Mrs. Payne's case. She's but Diane and Faith, okay. But in high school, they've got some little older teachers there, amen. And that's good. But approach them with respect. You know, don't approach them with a chip on your shoulder. Don't, you know, folks, boy, there are ways to work through misunderstandings and even problems without talking down to someone. Do you understand what I said by talking down to someone? Demeaning, belittling. And you know, ladies, that's good for you. You know, I don't mind Joyce disagreeing with me and voicing her opinion as to why she disagrees, but just don't talk down to me. Don't talk down to me. Don't demean me. That doesn't go well with a man. Okay? And the same thing is true about a teacher, any authority figure. Don't talk down to them. Talk like an adult. Okay, and come with some respect for them, and they've been to college, they've got the degree. They're 24. Well, okay, you know, but they had to go through something to get the degree. You know, they had student teaching and that type of thing. So they've earned a measure of respect just because the position God's put them in. So approach the authority with respect, seeking information. Ask them what happened. You know, get their side of the story. Don't come tell them what happened. Today, my child this, and you did this, and the other child did this, and you took the other child. You're not seeking information. You're just getting it off your chest. And after you've gotten it off your chest, when you hear the real story, you may go, That's where that embarrassment comes in. Okay? So when you come to an authority like that with a child, come with respect and seek information. Can you tell me what happened? Can you tell me what happened in the classroom today? Was it an issue? Is my child embellishing and overtelling it? What exactly happened? Can I get your side of the story? and do it with that kind of attitude, okay? And I'll promise you, they'll help you. Next one, I don't know what number that is, and I got to hurry. Ask God to help you control your emotions and keep them in check. Again, nothing stirs your emotion more than your children, okay? Nothing stirs your emotion more than your children. You know, you ladies, you know, Joyce, I think last week or the week before, told about that bike wreck she and Cherith had out there, you know. And I mean, it did look pretty, I mean, she was banged up. She was banged up real good, and Cherith was. I still don't know how Joyce wrecked. But anyway, Cherith was banged up really good. And, you know, when she was telling me this story, I could feel my guts move, my insides, sorry, ladies, but... You know what I'm talking about? You're just, nothing gets to you, to the seat of your emotions, like your children does. It just, nothing does. So she's telling me about this wreck, and man, I'm visualizing it, you know, and she's dripping blood on the pavement and everything. And Joy says, help, help! There's nobody within miles, you know. I don't know what she was thinking, you know. What was the guy, the old park ranger, the old cartoon park ranger who would come right, Dudley Do-Right or something, you know, come riding in. But anyway, nothing stirs your emotions like your children. So on the drive to the school or before you pick up the phone, you ask the Lord, God, would you please help me keep my emotions in check? I realize my vulnerability right now, and I don't want to make a fool out of myself. And even if the teacher is wrong, I don't want to give her undue trouble. So help me, Lord. Amen. God's able to do that. Next one here. If you disagree with the authority, tell them politely. Avoid things like, you idiot. Now, you may feel that, but you don't have to say everything you feel. Okay? You don't have to say everything. Oh, Ray Nemeth is a pretty good Christian. We were hanging a deer stand this day, and he was cranking that thing, that ratchet, and it broke loose and hit him in the knuckles. Bang! I mean, I could hear it. and he dashed me. He never said a word. I said, you're a good Christian. You're a good Christian. He said, I won't tell you what I was thinking. If you disagree with them, tell them politely. Karen, was anybody ever ugly? Yeah, no doubt about it. People can be ugly. Let me tell you, if you don't take this seriously, let me tell you what's going to happen to one or more of you. Ladies sometimes are a little quicker to respond than men emotionally, but one time a lady made a fool of herself in front of the half the school up here. This years and years and years ago. I mean, came up and just verbally and loudly read the riot act. I mean, showed herself. And come to find out, again, she'd not taken time to find the other side of the story. It was bad for her. It was bad for her. You don't have to be ugly. Even if you disagree, you don't have to be ugly. So tell them politely. If it is a matter of judgment, yield to the authority. Got 60 seconds. If it's a matter of judgment, yield to the authority. What do they have to do in baseball if the umpire calls them out and the manager thinks he's safe? It's the umpire's call. You know, he's put in that place. Judgment sometimes, if it's a matter of judgment, yield to the authority. If the matter, if after talking you still feel the matter has been handled improperly, tell the authority you're going to the next level. Don't blindside them. If you're talking to a teacher, say, I do want to talk to Brother Don about this. But don't blindside them. Don't go to Brother Don without telling them. And then Brother Don comes and says, I need to talk to you about this. You know, help me. Okay? And then end the conversation civilly. Man, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'll be honest with you, I doubt very seriously if any one thing outside of a child molestation case, you know, I doubt there's anything that's going to affect your child for years and years and years and years and years in a school setting like this one. Okay? So be careful. Isn't that a good lesson at the beginning of the school year? That can be helpful. Next week, we'll jump into lesson 58. It's out of chapter 18. Boy, it's good to be back with you. God bless you.